To talk about three writers who have inspired me, I must go back to childhood. Among my mother's effects, which I was recently sorting, I found a little anthology of my favourite poems that I had been asked to compile by my English teacher. I must have been about 12, and remember vividly doing it. What's in it? Some classics. John Masefield's Sea Fever. Alfred Noyes's The Highwayman. The now rather forgotten but stunning Tarantella by Hilaire Belloc. But there are more surprising ones. Cavalry Crossing a Ford by Walt Whitman. Giorno dei Morti by D.H. Lawrence. Interspersed with these is the odd bit of real juvenilia by myself. It's charming and embarrassing all at once. But what it shows is that I was trying to flex my own poetic muscles, a bit like a bear cub watching its mother. Then suddenly the anthology stops. And here are the opening lines of the poem that stopped it. Summer ends now. Now, barbarous in beauty, the stooks arise around. Up above, what wind walks! What lovely behaviour of silk-stack clouds! I can still recall the goosebumps that rose on my skin as I read these words. The sensation of running through a cornfield with a wild wind raising strange feelings in the blood. No wonder the anthology stops. It's as if the bear cub has suddenly caught sight of a tiger stalking in the undergrowth and has just decided, very quietly, it would be better to lie low. For years. The poem was, of course, Gerard Manley Hopkins's Hurrahing in Harvest, and he is a writer to whom I have returned over and over, as an adolescent having to do him for A-level and being mystified and terrified, as a practitioner fascinated by his profound understanding of the rhythms, meters and vocabulary of the English language, as a teacher showing others, as I was shown, how to enter Hopkins's extraordinary imaginative vision. It was years before I heard of A. E. Housman's gooseflesh test of good poetry. The precise circumstances are very male, but you'll get my point. He says, experience has taught me, when I am shaving of a morning, to keep watch over my thoughts, because if a line of poetry strays into my memory, my skin bristles so that the razor ceases to act. This particular symptom is accompanied by a shiver down the spine. His is a brilliant test of poetic language. Another poet who inspired goosebumps in me was Dylan Thomas. It's fashionable these days to bash Thomas as being self-mythologizing, over the top in his poetic diction and delivery, and maudlin in his personal life. But the poet was rigorous in his writing habits, and the best of Thomas is poetry of genius. What could be more controlled than the emotion in The Conversation of Prayers, with its tight rhyme scheme sounding like a death knell, which turns unexpectedly from the lover to the child, foreseeing all the life sorrow the latter will encounter, like the Welsh folk tale in which the fairy weeps at weddings and laughs at funerals. A poet who does not figure in my childhood anthology, but who has become very important for me in adulthood, is Emily Dickinson. If Dylan Thomas introduces you to intoxication, Dickinson shows you how to distill it. Her poetry, like that of Hopkins, her contemporary, is unlike anything else written in English. What she is able to convey through her compressed imagery in short lines is savage and astonishing. Although she is capable of a sudden and delightful turn of wit, as in the poem, I'm Nobody. I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'd advertise, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public. Like a frog. To tell one's name the livelong June to an admiring bog. But most of the time, the reader has to be prepared for much darker encounters. Once you have read Emily Dickinson, the world is never the same again. This world is not conclusion. a species stands beyond, invisible as music, but positive as sound. Much gesture from the pulpit, strong hallelujahs roll, narcotics cannot still the tooth that nibbles at the soul.